It's time now for Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Your Golden Years is sponsored by Fry's Family Pharmacy and all the independent pharmacists of the Rio Grande Valley. Golden Years. And now it's super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Golden Years.
Good evening. Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years with yours truly this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com. And you can hear the show directly on my website at drmarakarpel.com. It's drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear the show again by going to my website, and the link to the podcast will be posted right after the show. For information from this show and updates about the upcoming shows, go to drmarakarpel.com and follow me on Facebook at Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to advertise your business? Send me an email at drmara@drmarakarpel.com or go through my website. Again, that's drmarakarpel.com or give me a call at 512-626-6973. Tonight's show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psychedelic Productions, and sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. Tonight's show is also sponsored by Live Oak Legacy, committed to helping families capture and preserve the stories, recipes, photographs, and relics held the most dear. Find out more at liveoaklegacies.com. And today is Sunday, February 16th, and we are live once again at the office of Accomplice Entertainment in the Frost Bank Tower, and that is in the Intelligent office on Congress Avenue in Austin, Texas, and we got here right after the marathon ended. So I don't know who won, but I hope that it was a beautiful day, so I bet there were a lot of runners out there, and I hope everybody made some good time today. And this is show number 4 on Blog Talk Radio, so things are flowing more and more smoothly. Last week, we were on our way with our new equipment and our virtual studio, but if you were listening, we ran into a few snags. It went really well anyway. And once again, Grammy and Oscar-winning sound engineer Chet Hines came to rescue us, and I think the issues have been resolved, and I think we're on our way tonight for a smooth show. I want to give a big thanks once again to Chet Hines for taking his time and his extremely busy life to help get it together. And now Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is again doing the production engineering for tonight's show. So he's working his magic to make the show run, and he will be answering your calls. So if you call later with questions, he'll answer the phone, so make him work. And good evening, Art. Art's waving. Art, are you waving over there? So if this is your first time tuning in, the show has been on live local radio in Austin, Texas on KJCE for 92 live shows. And tonight is our 4th 2-hour show here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're getting the hang of this virtual studio that we have created here in the Intelligent Office Suite at the Frost Bank Tower. And I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, and I'm now practicing in both Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers, and have in the past few years added the evaluation of veterans for PTSD. And you can listen to the podcasts of my shows from local Austin radio by going to my website. Most of the 92 live shows have already been archived, and we're in the process of completing that process of archiving, so soon you can listen to any of the 92 shows simply by going to my website, and the topics are all listed on my website. And tonight we have another great lineup of guests. In the first hour, joining me right here at the Office of Accomplice Entertainment is Tai Chi instructor and founder of Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal, Wayne Key, who is back to talk about Tai Chi for health and wellness at all ages and for growing older healthfully. With over 26 years of continuous training, mm-hmm. right, and degrees in both psychology and philosophy, Wayne specializes in Tai Chi-based fitness and renewal and is a certified instructor of Tai Chi for arthritis as well as Tai Chi for diabetes. So welcome back, Wayne.
It's great to be here, Dr. Morrow.
Looking forward to talking to you more about Tai Chi. Also in the first hour, I will be talking about coping with stress for caregivers and for everyone. And then stay tuned for the second hour. When retired veteran Master Sergeant Will Williams, who's been on the show several times before, will be back to talk via the telephone tonight about the many community resources that he's involved with in the Central Texas region for both veterans and for non-veterans. And he will be letting us know about resources that you might be interested in accessing or that you might be interested in becoming involved with as a volunteer. We can always use help. While visiting San Diego last month, I met musician Carlos Rodriguez in La Jolla, and Carlos will be joining us from La Jolla in the second hour with two of his band members to talk about their musical history and what their band is doing these days. And throughout the show, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or my guests, please feel free to call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or if you're too shy to call and be heard on Blog Talk Radio, don't be shy. But if you are, you can email me or you can tweet me your questions, and I'll read them on the air to my guests. My email address, again, is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or send me a tweet, U-M-A-R-A-E-K. So now, before we go to our guests, I wanted to talk a little bit about anxiety and stress and coping with stress for caregivers, for people in later life, and for everybody. So one of the things to be aware of is that approximately 18% of Americans will suffer from an anxiety disorder in any given year. And that is actually twice the rate as that for depression. So over the course of a lifetime, the number who will suffer from anxiety rises to close to 30%. Some studies show that approximately 20% of all adults 65 and older have significant symptoms of anxiety. That's pretty high. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think that depression is the one that is the bigger issue, but anxiety really, and I've seen that in my practice, that more people come in with anxiety than anything else. In fact, according to the Surgeon General's report, an anxiety disorder is usually seen when a person is younger. So if somebody older has an actual clinical anxiety disorder, they likely had some anxiety when they were younger. And then the stresses of aging, such as changes in lifestyle and finances after retirement, caring for a loved one, loss of loved ones, threats to independent living, decreased health, or loss of physical functioning, can cause the anxiety to return in later life. Over and over again, the research has found that chronic stress and anxiety are responsible for damage to almost every system of the human body. So this is really a health issue. It's not just a psychological issue, but it is a health issue. And this actually, this damage to every system of the human body that is done by chronic stress and anxiety is for everyone, young and old. So it's not just for older people. And in addition to that, people who are suffering from an anxiety disorder are far more likely to become clinically depressed. So, and as I tell the older people that I speak to about anxiety and stress, depression and anxiety tend to go hand in hand as people grow older. They're kind of like best friends. So, which came first, the anxiety or the depression? It's not always easy to tell, but one will tend to cause the other in many cases. And anxiety is also one of the biggest causes of memory loss. And, you know, people get very worried that they have some sort of organic problem when they are dealing with memory loss, and it could very easily be related to anxiety or depression or both. Memory is extremely sensitive to problems with anxiety, with depression, with sleep, nutrition. So it's very important to be able to deal with the anxiety. And then your memory will return. However, if somebody is on the path to getting Alzheimer's disease, they have found that having anxiety will speed up the onset of something like Alzheimer's disease or more serious brain diseases. Now, as for the family caregivers, the statistics are quite glaring. Approximately 45% of adults who provide care for a loved one for 3 or more years report stress-related illnesses, hypertension, depression, frequent colds and flu, back injuries, body pain, headaches, insomnia, recent weight loss or gain, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue. And this is a significantly higher rate of occurrence than for the general population. So one thing that's important to realize is that the fight or flight instinct, which is what anxiety is, when we feel like we are in danger and we must either fight the danger or run from it, that fight or flight instinct is a survival instinct. It's natural. We need that in the face of real danger. We need to be able to prepare our mind and our body to fight the danger or flee from danger. And when that happens, the blood in your body will stop circulating to your extremities, like your hands and your feet. That's why when people are anxious, their hands and feet are cold very often. And the blood flow will go to the larger muscles, like the upper arms, the upper legs, because those are the muscles where you either fight with your upper arms, right? You need to have that strength to fight off danger, or run with your upper legs. You need to be able to run. Also, your stomach will stop digesting food because that's a waste of energy at that moment. That's the least important thing when you're in a real dangerous situation. Your vision will change. It becomes more acute and tunnel vision, right? So it's not important to look around you at that moment. You need to focus your attention on the danger when there is a real danger. So when people are feeling anxious, they very often experience tunnel vision. But in a situation when there is real danger, when the danger ends, our body and our mind begin to relax. So the blood starts flowing back to your fingers and your toes, and your hands and your feet get warmer, and your stomach starts digesting food. Your muscles and your shoulders relax. Your breathing, which may have become more quick and more shallow, becomes deeper and slower. You start digesting food. Your vision expands, your thinking expands, right? Earlier, when you were in danger, you really couldn't think about what you would eat for dinner. But now you can think about things like that seem to be much less important in the times of danger. And your heart rate will, when the danger is not real and only exists in your mind, then these experiences of these symptoms will continue for an indefinite amount of time, because only we can decide when that made up danger is gone, and when we can turn off that fight or flight instinct. And when we have those physical symptoms going on for an indefinite amount of time, that's when we experience the danger effect. That's when it starts to break down the organs of our body. So again, the body and mind symptoms of stress and anxiety, increased heart rate, increased respiration rate, shallowness of breathing, increased blood pressure, increased muscle activity, tighter muscles, headaches, grinding teeth, tight jaw, tight stomach. It goes on for a long time, chest pain, decreased blood flow, increased sweating, increased brain activity, so you're unable to focus your attention or concentrate. You might become more irritable, won't be able to sleep, having racing thoughts, increased gastric activity, so upset stomach and lower appetite. If it goes on for longer, you might start having more of the emotional symptoms, anxiety, worry, guilt, irritability, anger, frustration, and as I mentioned, depression can follow. So one problem is that anxiety often shows itself in the form of physical symptoms in older adults. So older adults are hesitant to report symptoms that indicate anxiety, and many older adults assume that they are experiencing a medical problem. The result is that older adults receive a lot of medical treatment, but not the mental health treatment that might be necessary for them to recover. And so here are some things to look for in an older adult that might indicate the presence of anxiety or ongoing stress. Has their daily routine changed? If you notice that a loved one of yours, an older adult, has drastically change their daily routine for no apparent reason and it's not a healthy way, that might be the sign of anxiety or stress. Is there a noticeable declaring to isolate yourself? That may be a symptom of anxiety, stress, or depression. Do worries seem out of proportion with reality? Are they saying things that are just, you know, why are you worried about that? That's just not anything rational that is likely to happen. And that's happening a lot. That can be a sign of anxiety. As people become more and more anxious, they create things, more and more things to become anxious about, even if they're not logical. And if you notice that this older person is taking more or additional medication, so they may be popping some extra pills because they are feeling kind of strange and they want to feel better. And it's also important to note that even if the doctor has prescribed additional medications, it's something to be aware of, because some medications can cause side effects that are similar to the symptoms of anxiety. So they can actually cause anxiety. And as I said, using more medication may be an attempt to self-medicate somebody feeling anxious. Or are they drinking more? That's another way that people tend to self-medicate. Tearfulness, lack of interest in activities that a person once enjoyed, or a complete lack of emotion. And again, these may be signs of depression, but as I mentioned earlier, this often goes hand in hand with anxiety. So, you know, if somebody's feeling anxious for a long period of time and they're not able to get themselves out of that, then it may be necessary to seek professional treatment. And treatment may not necessarily be medication. Very often psychotherapy can be extremely effective in helping somebody overcome these patterns of anxiety and stress. And it's important also to see a medical doctor. With older adults, it's important to rule out a medical reason for the symptoms first. So the first step would be to see a medical doctor. As I mentioned, some medications can actually cause anxiety, or it may be a medical problem. So I'm going to take a quick break. I've noticed that a couple of questions came through on the computer, so we're going to take a quick break so I can read those questions and hopefully answer them after the break. So come right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I received a question about what to do if you are feeling anxious. And there are several things that you can do to both prevent anxiety and to decrease anxiety, aside from also seeking professional help if you're not able to calm yourself down on your own. So we're going to talk about this after my guest, Wayne Key. He's going to speak now about Tai Chi, and I will bet that he's also going to address the issue of anxiety and stress when he speaks about Tai Chi. So I'm going to go to Wayne Key. I also want to mention one other thing, and that is February is National Laugh-Friendly Month. So I think that's very important to have a sense of humor and to laugh. It's one of the best ways of reducing stress. So I'll be talking a little bit more about stress and stress reduction, including using laughter and humor to do that. So, okay, so now in the studio, as I mentioned, with me is Tai Chi instructor and founder of Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal, Wayne Key, and he is going to talk about Tai Chi for health and wellness at all ages and for growing older healthfully. And we're taking your calls. So if you have any questions and comments for Wayne, give a call. Let Art answer your call. And free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your question to me, and I will read that to Wayne on the air so he can answer the question. And the email address is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L. .com, or you can send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K. And so, welcome back, Wayne. So good to have you back.
Hi, Dr. Mara. It's good to be here.
How do you like our virtual studio? Last time we spoke, we were in the radio station.
It seems to be cool. It's working here just fine with Wayne.
Okay. I have a
and
beautiful
we've got a great view of downtown Austin here.
Yeah,
so that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, up here on the 15th floor, we can see a lot.
That's right.
So Wayne, before we go into Tai Chi and even talking about stress and anxiety, why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? Why don't you give our listeners a little background about who you are?
Well, my background in Tai Chi and related things, 27 years ago, actually, on anniversary company. So on the 27th of April, it was my 27th anniversary and, martial arts.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So kind of 27 or 27.
That's a long time.
It is. And I joke with my classes that I began on the on the dark side. I began art that over the years kind of gravitated towards the insights of the martial arts. And then as I began training more and more on my own to really gravitate heavily towards Tai Chi. There was a point in time where I realized that there are a lot more people face the challenges of motion, health, and balance, and these kinds of things will ever face being mugged.
And so, although
I still have a toe in the water on the other side, I still enjoy teaching self-defense clinics. My real focus is on helping people be healthier.
And you have certification in teaching Tai Chi for specific health issues.
Yes, Dr. Paul Lam is a Western medically trained doctor. His medical degree, he comes from the University of Australia. I don't know the exact name, but it was in Sydney. And he was an immigrant from China. He studied medicine there. He was in the late 20s. Finishing up some medical work. He was diagnosed with arthritis, particularly virulent form of rheumatoid arthritis. And so was he. As the story goes, and I don't know a lot of it personally, but I've been told that he discovered during that period of time that his wife's father was actually a Song Tai Chi lineage master. And Song Tai Chi is Tai Chi that evolved in the early 1900s from Wu Tai Chi. It takes Tai Chi all the way back around to its original roots for health and wellness.
Okay.
It takes out virtually all the martial arts which were developed in Chan.
Okay, so Tai Chi was originally for health.
Well, historically, the story goes like this. Go back 700-800 years to the roots of Tai Chi, and it came from ancient India and from ancient China. The health and wellness practices came together. There was this in and around the Shaolin Temple and the Chen began to evolve into this art that they used to be stronger and well, you know, help their concentration and their focus and these kinds of things. Needless to say that a warrior who was strong and focused and healthy is probably going to be more successful on the natural evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And after 300 or so years of China, perhaps the old martial arts begin to re-evolve, begin to re-evolve fruits, not the laws.
Mm-hmm.
That is the primary focus of my practice and Tai Chi class.
Okay. And you're certified in?
I'm certified in Tai Chi for arthritis 1 and 2, Dr. Paul Lam, as well as Tai Chi for diabetes.
Okay.
I know several of these other programs, but I'm certified in.
I'm curious about now the Tai Chi for arthritis. I think
mm-hmm.
that instinctually people would feel like that makes sense, right?
Right.
You're moving and
right.
that's good for the joints. So could you explain the Tai Chi for diabetes?
That's always a question.
Uh-huh.
I know when I was exploring, which was asking the same exact question, but she
mm-hmm.
said but when you think about it, with the advent of type 2 diabetes really pushing in, it became very apparent to those who are on health and wellness and those kinds of things. There are two things that a person approaching type 2 diabetes or in that state of type 2 diabetes can really do to help themselves, that is, diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If Tai Chi does one thing, it is it moves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any kind of movement. So if somebody has severe type 2 diabetes, they need safe movement.
Mm-hmm.
They need safe, thoughtful movement to help themselves be safe as they become fit. You've got to have gradual progressive growth curve of their ability. Enough they can see so they stay upbeat about progress,
right.
But it's got to be gentle enough that they don't feel intimidated that they are harmed by the process.
I wonder also, maybe you can answer this, I wonder, I know that cortisol is a big factor.
Stress hormone.
Stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that a factor in diabetes?
I am not a doctor, but it's, from what I have read, it's a fairly significant factor.
Mm-hmm.
And any time we can reduce the stress, and I talk particularly about the distress, you know, in our bodies, we can improve, as you were talking about earlier, we improve our functioning on many different levels, whether it's memory or whether it's focus and concentration or whether it's movement. Take that stress and relax it. And stress is nothing but it hangs around the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been a problem.
And it causes the creation of cortisol, which I would think, also not being a medical doctor,
mm-hmm.
would contribute to diabetes.
I believe that is what the study I've read says. I would say that stress of all forms contributes to type 2 diabetes. And as you know, type 2 diabetes often comes hand in hand with depression or feeling bummed out, low blood sugar, and something
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Right.
And all of those things can be helped with some move. So move safely, breathe, in two step process emotion that works to minimize that too.
So getting to the topic that I present,
mm-hmm.
and I think that a lot of people are told that Tai Chi is really good for stress and
mm-hmm.
anxiety. How does that kind of, you know, Tai Chi help with stress and anxiety?
Okay, let's look at the three parts of Tai Chi. You can think about it in conceptual terms. Movement,
mm-hmm.
breath,
mm-hmm.
and there's meditation.
Mm-hmm.
These are the three primary conceptual components. And you look at stress, any kind of movement helps people relax, whether it's a physical relaxation. You know, when a person's in motion, particularly in thoughtful motion, they tend to step away. There's
mm-hmm.
my goal in class is to create an environment where when a student comes into class, sets their coat down, whatever, and utility in class, they are in a different place.
Uh-huh.
This is a place where they come and they are, and for an hour, they step away from the cares of the day. And they can just enter themselves
nice.
For a while.
Mm-hmm. So is that how it's meditation?
That is, you know, of course all three of them work together, but yeah, that is a big part of the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that. And, you know, there's always a little bit of stress when you walk into the room
mm-hmm.
and when you're trying to learn something new. And so I ask people, you know, give it a few weeks, you know, get to the point where you begin to feel comfortable with people. And you know, I think I'm going to enjoy the movement, enjoy the practice, enjoy the process. And over time, we can see those people settle in, then they quit thinking about the goals after the goals start coming.
And you mentioned breath. Mm-hmm. I know that breath is very, very helpful in reducing.
Absolutely.
And how do you use the breath in Tai Chi?
Well, breath in Tai Chi, you know, there's science. Breath means also a qi, energy, and breath in Chinese. I don't speak in Chinese, so please understand. Just in the saying of it, I'm mispronouncing it.
Okay.
That's just the way it is. So I apologize to those of you who are listening who might speak it so much
but
better.
But we know what you mean.
But in taking control of the breath, taking conscious control of the breath, where you may extend the inhalation sometimes, extend the exhalation sometimes. You know, you may pause on the other breath, most there. You may pause there, and then you may pause on the bottom side of the breath. There are many, many different sets and techniques of intention in classic Tai Chi that are very good for the breath.
And you're moving
at the same time. In Qigong, the movement is a little fast. The movement is really just on the breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Tai Chi, the movement is a little greater. It's more whole body.
Mm-hmm. Taking a couple of Tai Chi classes, then it's kind of like a dance, a very slow dance.
Very much that way. It's very much that way, especially when a person first comes in. I mean, after a while, they begin to realize this is something different. It looks like that. It feels like that. You know, and I'm afraid some of my, you know, older gentlemen who come in kind of feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
So much, you know, sort of thing. But after a little while, they realize that although there is the motion component of that, the mindset of the focus of it is quite So at some point, they realize, yes, this is a different.
Right. Thing. So like by dance, though, I mean choreographed, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There are specific sets, you know, that you can learn. I like to teach some of Dr. Lam sets. Obviously, I teach to also the Yang Qian, which is a very simple, symmetrical set that a person can learn at a reasonable level.
So do you have different sets for different, like if you were teaching a group of people with diabetes, would you do a different set than someone with arthritis?
Well, obviously, if I was teaching a set of people who were focused on working, we'd be looking specifically at the diabetes set. As well as where they were in the span.
Uh-huh.
Are they middle-aged and just sort of late? Do they truly have problems with serious obesity? Or are they healthy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the physical context of the student, you know, is so important in that situation.
Okay, so you bring up another point, and that is the different level.
Yes.
So you work with people at all different skill levels and physical capabilities.
I do. I have students who are, well, actually I have 2 or 3 star students who are well over 80. And they have diligent for 3 years.
Wow.
And I have seen them develop balance problems, falling on just to sort of come in, stand on, not fall. Literally, you know, I always, you know, do enough. But I haven't fallen since they started with me.
Right. Okay. Well, what about people who can't stand?
People who can't stand. And some
or sit on the floor. No, you don't sit on the floor.
No, we don't. Okay. We don't sit on the floor,
okay.
Typically.
Mm-hmm.
But their entire wheelchair set that I My classic class can be done whether you're standing or whether you're sitting. Obviously, if you're sitting, that's something you're not doing. Turn your foot to the left. On the other hand, you can press, if you have control, you can press your foot against, you know, one side, press down, and feel the movement pressing down, shift the weight to the other side, shifting.
Okay, so while you're sitting, you can actually...
You can begin to activate those muscles, because if somebody is sitting, and it's not permanent, at least there's a possibility, keeping their muscles truly active is critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that balance back, and balance is so that everybody thinks, you know, balance is so that we want to find small muscles, either side of the ankle, or inside and outside of the knee. You know, those muscles just have to be working. Ability balance goes away.
Well, that brings me to another question. That is that the issue of balance is one of the most important issues with older adults.
Of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Tai Chi help with that?
Tai Chi has been tested many, many times. Indeed, Dr. Owen's Tai Chi for arthritis course, it's such strong ratings when it's tested in Western medical labs, that it is acknowledged as the best of the Tai Chi sets to practice for balance. And Tai Chi always equals or exceeds that of the balance practice. And that's not from me. I've seen it personal times, many times. It really is from the Western medical studies. I invite anyone to go to the NIH, that's the National Institute of Health.gov, and just search under Tai Chi and balance. Go to the little search bar there, search under Tai Chi and balance. You will find literally thousands of entries about the value of Tai Chi and balance. But people who have had injuries, different kinds of physical, physiological, psychological trauma, helping people find physical balance part of Tai Chi, and there's some very interesting studies about Tai Chi and PTSD.
What can you tell us about that?
I have not studied that real closely, but the thing that I do know about it is that Chi can stretch out and is meditative. It forces people to somebody who has got by what they're most anxious about, as I understand it, is this anxiety coming as opposed to what's coming.
We're always looking for danger.
And if you can take them and begin to move them, they can see, oh yeah, I can see how this might have been begin to feel that connection with their psyche, who they are, their experience, but also begin to feel peace inside, the relaxation, focused, aware, key component is deep and you know, from the studies that I have seen, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of the Tai Chi and related arts can do suffering. All sorts of stressful things.
It really is a form of mindfulness meditation.
Absolutely.
You have to be very mindful of what you're doing.
Absolutely.
What you're doing. And mindfulness meditation has been found to help people with trauma, anxiety disorders.
Yeah. My most recent newsletter, 10 newsletters out called Tai Chi Monday. My most recent newsletter that literally put out this morning was talking. And specifically concentration, focus, test scores, you know, knowledge. Just simple meditation for short periods of time was so much good.
Well, they've actually done studies with MRI, right? And they can actually watch the watch it happen. Yeah, the different parts of the brain light up
right
when you do different sorts of meditation.
Yeah.
and they actually grow.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You find something and actually you're in the stars that you couldn't do, and then you practice it, and you practice it. And then one day suddenly it's easy, and you have question why it was difficult.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is your world, you know, psychology, you know, science, and math. But, I was fascinated years ago the physiological changes, shape, and density of medical center's brain when testing a person who's taken a course of mathematics for 3 or 4 times a day. Then they would go in 6 months later and they'd measure the person's brain density in those areas they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
They had simply, through training, improved that part of the mind.
Right. The brain actually rewires itself.
Brain plasticity is fascinating. That's what Tai Chi and this continuing onward practice is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it predicates itself.
And you know, what's interesting, you bring that up, because I think that the improved wiring, the increased growth of certain parts of the brain are most stimulated when you're not just using your brain, right? A lot of people think, well, if I do puzzles and that sort of thing, that'll improve my brain.
Mm-hmm.
It might to some degree, but the most change in the brain occurs when you're actually moving the body
mm-hmm.
and using the
brain. When you're challenged through the greatest number of doubts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Actually, when you look at it both as martial art and wellness activity, when you look at the strength concepts and energy flows, body position, strength, and all that. The joke I have is stand up exercise, right? I tell my students, stand up. The first thing you do is find your feet. Okay, so if you look down at the ceiling, which I am. I'm trying to get them to think about this idea of giving themselves a checkup in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that is feet, feel their connection with the floor slick, the carpet, pad, concrete, grass. You know, their ankles, they're hurting. So their knees block back, which slows their weight up the heel, you know, lose their balance.
Mm-hmm.
Are their knees slightly soft? You know, are their hips, you know, and the pelvis of their body, is that area off to one side? Again, it's the back, it's the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them to draw this magic thread up through the center of the body, you know, so they're standing tall.
Mm-hmm.
And people joke with me that, you know, they're inching after inches taller after class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because they've changed their
posture.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
They are, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. You can see the class grow every time you get the exercise.
Right.
Now, they don't all stay that way, you know.
Right.
But you can see the class grow just instantly when they become aware.
Right.
And so what I try to incorporate as part of the class is to get them to create this automatic habit of stand up, I run my checkup.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it happens like that. I mean, it's a matter of a second. You know, 2 or 3 seconds if you want to go slower. But it's just a habit of taking stock of your place.
So, and let's go back a little bit to the brain.
Okay.
So have you seen, are there studies that show this, or have you seen people have improvement in their concentration and their thinking abilities?
Well, absolutely. There are a number of studies like that. As well, I'm sure you're aware of studies that people have done the same thing, created improvement like that. The classic seated meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, they've seen it, I've practiced seated meditation. But there is this, when you bring different modalities of training together, it's cumulative, right? That exceeds what anything.
Right.
When I teach people to form, start out with just a few movements, very easy and gentle. And they go through it. 6 weeks later, they go, wow, I did that. You can do it now, one. Huh? Just couldn't see it because you were learning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's layers within layers. Yes, and this art is 1,000 years old plus.
Wow.
And, you know, there are days I get up and feel like it began. I've been doing this for over a quarter of a century.
And I think a lot of people, going back to meditation, a lot of people have, you know, they try meditation and they stop the seated meditation because it's just too hard to clear their mind. They think that they have to clear their mind, which, by the way, they don't have to clear their mind to meditate. But something like Tai Chi or some sort of movement meditation gives your mind something to focus on rather than all those other thoughts that run through your mind. Or
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually easier to meditate when you're moving.
Focus on what you're doing. And there is something that's unique about the meditation focus, and that is that we try very hard not to make you wrong when your mind is here or there. The part of your brain that you're going to think about the person who she's polished. What am I going to wear tomorrow? Oh, my gosh. And all these millions of things exploding. And in Tai Chi, the idea is you take that little monkey and you kind of gently shoot him back to the lab. You go on this way, guy. Go on this way. A while later, the person jumps around and just plays him. You kind of gently bring him back. You know, you thought about something else and you're wrong.
And I think a lot of people do that when they meditate.
I have known so many people, skilled, talented martial artists who gave up, you know, on meditation practice too. You know, when it was philosophy, they approached it with respect for all.
Right.
There I go.
But just to gently bring it back rather than...
Just gently bring your mind back into the mind that works for seated meditation.
Because it's human to have your mind jump around like that. It's normal. And the more you say to yourself, I'm going to fill my mind, the more your mind wants to jump around.
That's right. You know, you know the old joke about don't think about pink elephants.
Exactly.
Don't think about pink elephants. Don't think about pink elephants. You know, and then somebody says, ooh, it's a fire truck. You know, in that moment, you're not thinking about pink elephants.
Right.
The only way not to think about pink elephants is to think about something else.
Exactly. You need to give your mind something else, and if you're moving, that's something else.
That's right.
Because then you can't do the movements if you're thinking about another thing.
That's right.
So, Wayne, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
So our listeners can have time to call in with a question or send a question. So, again, if you want to call in with a question, give a call at 855-345-4720. That's 8345-4720. Or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, M-A-R-A.
Yes, it is your name.
I said it too fast. At drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. Okay, we'll be right back.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9222. Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com. Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on blogtalkradio.com and on live stream podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I'm speaking with Wayne Key, Tai Chi instructor and founder of Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal. And again, we're taking your questions and comments at 855-345-4720 or at Twitter on M-A-R-A-E-K or emails at drmara@drmarakarpel.com. So Wayne, what do you tell people about how regularly they should be training if they want to be Tai Chi?
Well, here's the rule of thumb. The rule of thumb is that training is better than not.
Okay.
All right. That's the first rule of thumb.
So any amount is better than none.
It's always better than none. Kind of a parenthetical on the side is that if you leave class, that night or the next day you're sore, you probably did too much and probably just tried too hard. Typical in Western mindset, which we're looking at, should be sore. That's how you know you're sore.
Tai Chi, it's not that way?
In my opinion, there's a thing called the 85% rule.
Okay.
And the 85% rule basically says, this is your focus and concentration. Just 85% of this question is stretching.
That keeps
you safe to a gentle,
the 85%.
A gentle rising curve for you. Mm-hmm.
I bet there's a lot of people listening who will have a hard time with that.
It is extremely difficult, and the people who focus on that a long time to see all the positive.
So that's part of the philosophy.
That's part of the essence of Tai Chi and the Tai Chi approach to health and wellness. I make it very explicit. I borrow the simple phrase from Bill Douglas, who founded the Tai Chi Day, author of amazing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's got those dummies books, but we're not dummies.
No.
So.
But like I said earlier, it's always better to train than not. But the next one is if you can train once a week, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better than not. But if you can get twice a weekend, you are 4 or 5 times better than once a week.
Really?
Oh, easily. Easily. You simply have to do a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Say that for most people, most of the time, 3 times a week is optimal.
3 times a week is the best.
Right. But twice a week is so much better than once that truly it's part of the phrase, crazy man.
So do you mean going to a class or can people do this on their own?
The answer is yes. Go to a class or do it on your own.
Okay. So you can do it on your own if you can't make it to a class.
Absolutely. One of the things I really encourage my students to do is to learn some of the simple steps and to do them all the time.
Practice.
I have several different suggested steps. I'm not called steps, but they're suggested steps. They're only 3 movements. There's 1 set for the back, just to boost some lumbar up the back.
Mm-hmm.
Only 3 movements.
Okay.
I could teach you and your listeners if they happen to have TV and you're on TV. I could teach everyone. And that is the practice of the magic is not in on that store. That's really simple plan. It's the kind of thing you do when you get up in the morning. And I feel stiff and stowed up. I knew I shouldn't have spent 4 hours in the morning, which is a difficult thing I have to do. I really leave this class. I spent much time in the yard this weekend.
Okay. So then that will help them with that stiffness.
Absolutely. And I also ask them this. When you're getting ready to go on vacation, do you go in and see your doctor and maybe make sure you have all the right prescriptions with you? So, calculate your travel. What's the answer? Normally, all the right prescriptions you should have. And then say, never ask your doctor if it's okay for you not to take some of these while you're on vacation. Maybe you have, this kind of pushing up. So, I'm going to be out having fun. I don't need to take that, right? What do you think the doctor says? you know, everybody knows the doctor says, now you take medicine.
Right.
Well, this is the hardcore part of me, and I'm telling you that it's safe, gentle, she, like me, helps you on a day-to-day basis. You take it with you.
And you do it with whatever
you take
it is.
It with you.
Now, I just received a question.
Okay, good.
Can a pregnant person do Tai Chi?
Absolutely. Now, it depends perhaps a little bit on the instructor, a little bit on the type of class,
mm-hmm.
but it would be very easy to interview instructor or sit in on the class. See what you think.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing, if you have any special need, whether it's pregnancy or something at the other end of life, is to be really comfortable with the care, the concern, and the professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's quite possible and perfectly well to, you know, to...
Okay.
Do we modify things? Sure we do.
Sure.
You know, we're not going to have her do, you know, something that's close to Lamaze breathing or something like that.
Right.
We're not going to do that that day, you know. But, yeah.
Or something that takes a tremendous amount of balance, right?
Yeah.
Because you're a little out of balance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's safe if you have the right modification.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
No question about that.
Okay. How does one find a good teacher, someone that they are comfortable with?
Well, there are some good resources online. One of the resources that being one of his students I am very fond of is Dr. Paul Lance's website. Tai Chi for Health Institute.com.
Tai Chi for Health
Institute. You don't have to remember all that. Just Google Dr.
Okay.
Much easier. And go to his website, click on instructors, and he's got well over 1,000 instructors worldwide.
Okay. People can put in their neighborhood, their
exactly.
zip code. Okay.
Exactly.
But people don't have to remember that because I'm going to put it on my website.
Good.
Okay.
So. You know, and I, if they can't find anything or they want advice or something like that, they're always open. It's always fine for them to email me.
Okay. And how do they do that?
For me, that would be Wayne at Tai Chi Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a .info, .com,
.info. Okay. And again, if people didn't get that pen and paper out in time, I will post that on.
Yeah. And again, you know, Google is good.
Okay.
Out there. Tai Chi Austin. You know, I pop up.
What can you tell us? I understand that your business, Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal, along with the Center for Music Therapy, are creating the Senior Festival.
We are.
What do you? When is that in?
The festival is, we're still looking for a release. Okay, I'm not sure that we're going to call it the Senior Festival.
Okay.
Senior Fest or something. We're still looking. We have scheduled the festival for May 3rd. And the Center for Music Therapy and the founder, Hope Young, she's had the Center for Music Therapy. 25, 6 years. She has massive contacts in the music industry. She is going to be doing local artists and nationally known artists. I understand. Ashton Stone.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s for the Saturday.
Very nice.
Tai Chi classes and performances. Undoubtedly, online. Wonderful people. It's real cool drama.
Okay.
So those are always fun, as well as many other vendors. As you know, we might come over
mm-hmm.
and be part of it.
Yeah, I hope I can do that.
Sure.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
So all different types of health and wellness vendors.
Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of resources, and we'll have hopefully within the next month we'll have a website with page up, you know, the website.
Okay.
With information about it. Also, check in for updates at my website and her website. Which
what's your website?
Tai Chi Fitness.
Okay, Tai Chi Fitness.com.
Yeah,
got info. Okay.
Right.
Just like it now.
Mm-hmm.
Tai Chi Fitness.info. Okay. And there'll be updates about how people can.
There will be updates. If somebody would like to subscribe to my newsletter, you know, they can subscribe to that, and there'll be regular 4x4 updates, as well as every week I write a short
And despair, is it going to be free? Is there a fee for it? Do you know yet?
We're still working out a lot of
okay.
the different details. It kind of
mm-hmm.
depends on vendors and sponsorships and this kind of stuff.
Right.
If they actually be for the festival, we will be low as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have some feelers out. It's like they're subsidized sort of food and things like that by some major vendors here in town.
Oh, nice.
You know, as well as some revolved water. Again,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is very early still planning stages for year one. Like, Hope has put together many festivals and I put together some. So it is happening.
Okay, great. And people can actually check out what Tai Chi is like.
Yeah, they can check out what Tai Chi is like. An introduction to many benefits that you get from the project. See there, I can see it's for
dollars. Okay, that sounds great. All right, well, thank you so much for coming back onto the show. This is
my
very
pleasure.
Interesting. We had a lot more time this time.
We did. That was very nice. And this office is not as cold as that other one.
That's true.
Your listeners didn't get to see, but you and I were both bundled
yes,
up at the end of the last
we
show.
Were. We were shivering. So, again, I was speaking with Wayne Key and from the Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal, Center for Tai Chi Fitness and Renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And you can contact Wayne at wayne@taichifitness.info.
Absolutely.
And his website is taichifitness.info. Find out more information about Tai Chi, everything
mm-hmm.
you wanted to know about Tai Chi. And thank you again.
Thank you, Dr. Wong. It's a real pleasure.
I look forward to having you back on the show. So
good. I look forward to being back.
We're going to take another brief break. And when we come back, we have more. In the second hour, so come right back.
Thank you.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your Golden Years on blogtalkradio.com and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And you were just listening to Tomas Ramirez, the Jasmanian Devil, on the saxophone. So I hope you enjoy our little music interlude during the break. So as I mentioned earlier, I said I was going to address the issue of how to deal with stress and anxiety. And I think Wayne did a great job of talking about that with regard to Tai Chi and how that helps with, I think, both preventing and helping people who already have stress and anxiety. And you brought up a very good issue, and that is that of meditation. So whether it's a moving meditation or a seated meditation, meditation can be very powerful in preventing and treating anxiety and chronic stress. And some simple seated meditation, let me just tell you about some of those. I think one of the issues that we brought up that we both have seen with people is that people tend to stop meditating after they try it maybe one or two times because they say it's too hard. They can't get their mind to stop thinking. And, that is going to be hard because the mind wants to think. And so in order to do meditation, you don't need to stop your mind from thinking. There are very few people who can actually make their minds go blank. I don't really know even expert meditators who can do that. So you need to give your mind something to think about, whether it is movement, such as Tai Chi, your breath, focusing on your breath, noticing your breath as you inhale and as you exhale, and really noticing the sound your breath makes as it comes in and as it goes back out. Notice the feeling of your breath as it comes in and expands your belly and as it leaves and you feel your belly sinking and feeling the oxygen moving through your body. So that's one way of focusing your thoughts. And when you do that, you don't actually even have to change your breathing. Your breathing will automatically start to slow down and become deeper. You can also think about counting your breath. You can count your breath as you breathe in, one, and as you breathe out, one, and then in, two, and so on. And you can do that up to 10. And if you lose your place, don't freak out. Don't get upset. Just start at one again. So just keep doing that, breathing in and breathing out and counting each breath up until 10 and starting again at 1 when you reach 10 or when you leave your place. And as thoughts pop into your mind rather than, oh, no, there's another thought, I can't do this meditating thing anymore, just notice the thought and just notice that thought. Say, oh, that's an interesting thought. That's a thought about work. Labeling the thought is a way of distancing yourself from the thought and not getting hooked in by it and not getting carried away with the thought and getting into that whole stream of thought, but actually just labeling it. Oh, there's a thought about work. I'll think about that later. Let it go. Oh, there's another thought about work. I'll think about that later. Oh, that's interesting. There's another thought about work. Or there's a thought about what I need to buy at the supermarket. Okay, well, think about that later. And again, giving yourself permission to have had the thought, but giving yourself permission to let it go. And if you do this while you're breathing slowly, you may start to notice after a period of time that the thoughts start to slow down. They decrease in frequency. And your tendency to get hooked by them becomes much lower, because you've given yourself permission to have the thought and let it go. Another way of meditating would be to breathe in slowly and say to yourself some sort of self-affirmation or some Yeah, some type of thought like, I am relaxed. I breathe in and I am relaxed, and I breathe out and I'm relaxed. Or I breathe in, I am relaxed, I breathe out, I smile. I think that's a meditation done by the Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. He would say, I breathe in and I feel relaxed, I breathe out and I smile. Or he would suggest that you walk, and with each step, you take a breath in and think, I breathe in, and then you take another step, I breathe out, I smile. And you keep, so that would be a walking meditation. And one thing that I mentioned earlier is that February is National Laugh Friendly Month. And laughter is extremely beneficial at reducing stress. And if you've ever noticed when you're feeling stressed out and you watch a funny movie and you start to get really into the movie and really laugh, that by the time that movie's over, after you've been laughing for 2 hours or an hour and a half, you feel so much more relaxed and so much less stressed out. And there are some real physiological reasons for this. When you laugh, you actually reduce the stress hormones, like cortisol that we were speaking about earlier, epinephrine, which is adrenaline, and dopamine, which is the growth hormone. But those are reduced when you're under stress, and when you laugh, you actually reduce those. And you increase the health-enhancing hormones, like the endorphins, which are natural mood elevators and painkillers. So laughter actually decreases pain, and it decreases stress, increases your mood. And when you laugh, it's a good physical release. So you're releasing a lot of stress when you laugh. You're getting a good workout. It's like an aerobic workout, and you're working out your abdomen and your shoulders, and it's actually good for your heart because it's aerobic. And laughter also brings you away, it brings your mind away from thinking about the things that you're stressed out about. It's a good distraction from stress and also from anger and guilt and other negative thoughts. So it's very distracting. So then, you know, it doesn't mean that you're never going to think about what it was you were stressed out about, but when you come back, you may have a different perspective. You've taken a break, and now you can come back and look at it differently, and maybe it's not so terrible or so challenging. And the other way that laughter and humor can change your perspective is that if you actually laugh at the situation that is stressing you out, it changes the way that you think about that situation. So the best comedians are really the ones who joke about stressful events that we can all relate to. And we feel good listening to their jokes because we can relate to it. We know that it's stressful when we've had those events happen to us, and now we can laugh about it. They've turned it into a humorous situation, and if we can do that, then we will change those stressful situations pretty quickly into much less stressful situations for ourselves. So those are some ways of reducing stress, and earlier I gave you the reasons why it's important to do that. And, you know, we will continue to talk about these things on this program. We will talk about more stress-reducing techniques. Next week, I will talk about stress and food and reducing stress through healthier eating. And so tune in next week for that. And now, joining us on the telephone, he's been on the show several times, both on the radio and here. He was here 2 weeks ago to be on this show on Blog Talk Radio. Joining us is retired veteran Master Sergeant Will Williams. And Will Williams has served for 21 years of military service, during which time he received 30 awards and ribbons. And he's been involved in a variety of causes and organizations benefiting veterans and non-veterans in the community. And Will is back to talk about what's going on with some of these organizations. Welcome back, Will.
How are you doing, Doc?
How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Well,
what's
I appreciate
going
you having
on?
On. Well, we got a lot going on in the community. As a matter of fact, we're right in the middle of a meeting talking about a mentoring program that we're having in Round Rock. And we got some friends here that would like to tell you about it. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Hi, this is Ken Cuthro.
Hi.
I can't hear you that well. Can you need to speak a little closer to the microphone.
Hello, Carla Johnson.
Well, are they on speaker so we can hear them?
All right.
Doc, can you hear us?
Well, you're kind of low. Are you on speakerphone? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear us now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, we're going to let Ken tell you a little bit about what's going on.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. K. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. K, this is Ken Cuthro. What we're putting together is a – how are you doing?
All right.
Good. What we're putting together is a leadership program and a mentoring program to assist Hernandez Middle School. They have one out of three students are in the at-risk – are designated as at-risk. And what our goal is to try to draw awareness and resources to the school so that we can help mitigate this issue and close the performance gap.
Okay. And how does the mentoring program work?
The mentoring program, what we're going to do is we have right now about 120 mentors identified to assist with the students. It's about 300 candidates over at Hernandez Middle School. So we're going to have a kind of a customized program. We'll have one-on-one mentoring, as well as we'll have mentors in groups of maybe two to three so that they can meet with them weekly, and they will be able to identify and connect with them and then help them navigate to a better academic outlook.
Okay. So this is a middle school, and you have these are high school students who are doing the mentoring?
Say that one more time.
So the students that you're helping are middle school students, and the mentors are high school students? Is that how it works?
We have a middle school students that we are servicing. Now, 60 of the mentors are high school students, and 60 are professionals out in the workforce.
Oh, okay.
So the reason how we got connected with Hernandez Middle School is that we put on an event, Press Forward, Back to School Bash, back in August of 2013, and we had a star-studded event with Mark Henry, a local celebrity. Do you know him, WWE wrestler?
I don't really watch too much wrestling, but I bet the students do.
Okay. We had also Omarosa. She came in to she was on The Apprentice with Donald Trump. Yeah, she came in to assist.
Yeah.
And we had Robert Jones, two-time champion, NFL champion, Super Bowl champion with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wow.
We also had another WWE wrestler, The Undertaker, and a couple other celebrities. So they Yes, okay. So they wanted to lend their expertise, their resources to help Hernandez Middle School perform better academically.
Okay.
So
So that's how the program got started?
Yes. With that initial push and initiative, we were able to supply the school with needed school supplies. We had a fun-filled day with age-appropriate activities, as well as we built up other resources as it relates to funds to continue to push forward the initiative with the mentoring and leadership program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So about how many mentors do you have now?
Right now we have about 120. But we want to continue. We want to push. We have 60 as it relates to high school students, and again, 60 as it relates to professional.
That call was dropped. So we're going to take a quick break and try to get them back on the phone. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Okay, and we're back, and Will Williams and his group of mentors are back on the phone. Are you there, Will?
We're here.
Okay, all right, we lost you there for a moment.
Okay,
so
we're...
the question that I...
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. So you were saying that you had about how many mentors in total?
We have roughly around 120 total.
Uh-huh.
Our goal is to get 200.
Okay.
So that we can best serve the needs of the kids in more of a customized program where we can have one-on-one mentors as well as mentors serving in groups of 2 to 3, no more than 5.
Uh-huh. So this is a pretty big school then, huh?
Yes, they have 900 students total. And one-third of them are designated as at-risk.
Okay, okay. So what does it involve to be a mentor? If there are listeners out there who want to be involved, what does it involve?
They have to be productive citizens in a community and have a heart for kids and helping
mm-hmm.
them to advance, you know, to higher academic performances and standards.
That's perfect for you,
mm-hmm. Dom. Right? They also have to have the time.
Right.
How much time does it involve?
We're looking for a weekly commitment of about an hour and a half to 2 hours a week.
Okay, that's not too much.
No, not at all. And not any financial commitment. All they would need to do is go to Hernandez Middle School website, and then that will link them to the Round Rock ISD website where they have a link that they can sign up for to become a mentor. And then from that process, they'll just get a background check, and then once that's good, then we'll select the student for them, and they'll begin the process.
Okay. So what is the website that people should go to if they're interested in becoming a mentor? Now, this is open for both high school students and for adults in the community?
That is correct. All they
okay.
need to do right now is go to the Hernandez Middle School website, and that's in the Round Rock ISD district. And we have other information we can get to you if we can post it somewhere.
Okay. Yep. What is the, do you have the Hernandez Middle School website address?
It's Hernandez Middle School. Yeah. All they have to do is go to roundrockisd.org, and then they can find Hernandez Middle School, and it'll just be that simple.
Okay, roundrockisd.org. ORG.org. Okay, and then look for the Hernandez Middle School. Okay,
yeah.
And I will post that on my website as well. So if there are listeners out there who are interested in becoming a mentor in Round Rock. Now, are you looking to expand this to other areas and other schools or teaching other people how to do the same kind of program?
Yes. We're looking at Manor ISD. We're starting to talk with the administration in that area and as well as in Austin. We're looking to do the same type of program within this school district as well.
Great, great. I'm just curious if somebody is listening to this and they're not even in Texas, they're somewhere else, but they're interested in starting a program like this. Is there a way that they can contact you and find out how you got started so they can do the same thing?
Absolutely. They can email us at pressforward@yahoo.com.
What is that?
They can email us. Yeah, press forward.
Right. At Yahoo.
Yahoo.com.
Okay, I will post that as well because you know we have listeners now all over the country and people might be really interested in doing exactly what you're doing.
Sure. Add one. We had to make one adjustment. It's pressforwardmentor@yahoo.com.
Okay. Pressforwardmentor@yahoo.com. That's the name of your program, Press Forward?
Yes.
Okay. That's great. Okay.
I was about to say, then we're about to add a leadership portion called Leaders Rise, where our where leaders in the community will come to Hernandez Middle School and speak on relevant leadership topics. And this is going to run from early March till early May. And that's going to be a select group of kids that are in a certain criteria. So there will be about 30 to 35 kids, and they'll be able to have field trips. They'll be able to meet local leadership as well as some celebrities to get a different outlook and perspective on what they need to do leaving not only middle school but high school and taking their careers to the next level as they go to college.
Excellent. And they can find out that as well at that same website, or is that a different website?
Yes.
At the same website.
Yes,
okay.
We'll be able to post all of that information and have it there for them.
Okay, that sounds great. You guys are doing a great thing. That sounds, you know, you're really... I know there's a lot of, research that has shown that mentorship programs are extremely powerful in helping kids to get back on the right path.
That's correct. Being a mentor it works and it helps give kids different outlooks.
And it's good for the mentors, too. You know,
exactly.
In my experience working with people with any anxiety, as I spoke about, or depression, getting involved in helping other people are the best things that you can do.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, and keep up the good work. And I will be posting all of this information on my website.
Hey, Doc, I'm back.
Oh, okay, Will.
I'd like to challenge all the veterans in Round Rock to come out and help. This is First Sergeant Williams. I need some help, you guys. Come out and help. You can all be mentored.
All right. Absolutely. That sounds great. And Will, you're going to come back onto the show pretty soon, right?
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
And next week, your friend is going to be on the show to talk about Water for Africa, right?
Yes, ma'am. We're going to have two people there to talk about Water for Africa.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
So, Will, you have a very good night, and thank you once again. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And thank you to everyone there.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. You all have a good night.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Carlos Rodriguez and one of his band members on the phone with us from La Jolla. So come right back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And while visiting San Diego last month, I met musician Carlos Rodriguez in La Jolla. And Carlos is now joining us from La Jolla with one of his band members, Danielle Spade, to talk about their band. And we were just listening to one of their songs, Remember When. So, Carlos, Danielle, are you there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Hi.
How's it going?
Welcome. How are things in La Jolla this afternoon?
It's actually getting sunny. I was going to go watch the sunset after this beautiful interview.
What a silly question to ask how things are in La Jolla. It's the only place where things are always beautiful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We're lucky. I mean, I was walking my dog on the beach today, so there you go.
Very nice. While everybody is digging out of the snow up in the northeast.
Yep.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your history, about your band, what you've been doing, what you are doing?
We're in a band.
I'll let Danielle go first.
Go ahead, Carlos, you tell them.
All right. Well, our band's called Stone Horse, and we got a new album out. It's called Grit. We're very proud of it. And especially Remember One, that's one of my favorites on the album. But we've been working hard, and it's been evolving over the last 5 years. Danielle and I, we write all the music, and it's been quite a travel, right on the road, you know. It's quite an adventure.
So are you on tour with this album?
We've been promoting it. We had a CD release party here in La Jolla a couple of weeks ago. It was a major success. And then also one of the local papers, the La Jolla Light, wrote a half-page article on us. I think that really really put us on the map.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
And then we're preparing a show at the House of Blues on February 28th here in San Diego.
Oh, very nice. House of Blues in San Diego on the 28th.
Yeah.
Right. Great. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your history? How long has the band been together?
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, Carlos had kind of a blues jam band going on, and I hadn't seen him in many years, and walking down the beach in La Jolla one day, we ran into each other and started talking, and I would just go over to his house and practice my harmonica. I never really mentioned I had been a singer. I was in bands in the 80s, and I went to vet school and became a veterinarian, so I was kind of doing other things, but never lost my love of singing, but just never thought I'd get back into it seriously. So him and I started writing songs together, and I joined his band. He was kind of doing the singing, but we just got more serious with it. And over the last 4 years, we've had some lineup changes, and the lineup we have right now, I think it's the guys we've been looking for 4 years. So with this new album and really good professional musicians behind us, we're just looking to just go out there and promote it. And, I mean, there's nothing like playing live on stage. There's so many sacrifices you have to do to be in a band, but to me it's just a labor of love, because when you get on stage and people, you know, dig your originals, and you know, you just see people dancing, having a good time, and it's just like the greatest high in the world. So
I'm sure. I bet.
What do you think, Carlos?
Yeah, sorry. I was just waiting for that.
It's his greatest high. Yeah. We actually, he quit drinking a year ago, so that's helped the band tremendously.
Congratulations.
I was still a mess, but I did happen to write a bunch of songs in that state, but... things are much better now. I'm much happier, and the band means everything to me. And I'm starting to really live the dream You know, wherever I go, people are always asking about our music when we're playing. And then with the album out now, I can send them to our website or YouTube or iTunes or Amazon. And it's just, I feel really, really proud. And I'm ready for world domination.
So,
which world?
What is your website? What is your website?
Hold up, Horse.
Stonehorse.net.
Stonehorse.net.
Okay. Yeah.
And where did that name come from?
I actually thought of it driving down the 5, coming from Redding down to San Diego, and I'd been racking my brain for a few months to just find something that kind of described us and kind of earthy but still rock and roll and 70-ish, and that's kind of what happened, Stone Horse. So
I had to laugh when you said you thought of it while driving down the 5, because I'm wondering if you spend a lot of time driving down the 5, but from what I understand, it's kind of like that out there.
Yeah, we actually wrote a song called Driving because of that. I do a lot of driving, so it seemed appropriate. That's
right.
On our album, Grit.
We do a lot of driving here in Texas, too, because everything is so far apart. But we're actually driving rather than sitting in traffic. Right.
We got to learn to do business and everything while you're driving. I actually went to Texas A&M for my last year of vet school, so I'm familiar with College Station and that part of Texas. But
so what is your history, Danielle?
Pardon?
What is your history? What's your background? You said that you went to vet school, but you used to sing before that?
Yeah, when I got out of high school, I was trying to put together a band and was in a few different bands, and there was one in Carlsbad. We wrote originals and then ended up moving to Hollywood, you know, to try to do something up there, and that was in the late 80s. It was a pretty crazy time period, but probably escaped with my life, actually. A few people did not. You know, there's a lot of serious partying going on. Actually, the song Remember When is about a guy. He was a bass player in a band I was in, and he ended up dying. That whole song, every word is true, and it's about Kevin. So he got out of Hollywood, went to San Diego, but succumbed down there to drugs. So that song is kind of in remembrance of him. But it was a crazy time period. But somehow I got my crap together and decided to become a vet, which I'd always wanted to do. But I never lost my love of music, so I'm glad I ran into Carlos, because he just kind of sparked the dream back in me. And so we've been having fun writing songs together and trying to find the right people to play them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to play the next song, and when we come back, Carlos, I want to hear about your history. Okay?
Okay, great.
You sent us another song called Shine, so we're going to play a little of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so.
I'm speaking with Carlos Rodriguez and Danielle Spade from Van Stonehorse. Carlos, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history? What brought you to music?
Well, I grew up in La Jolla here. Surfing and music has always been, they've always gone hand in hand with me. When I was growing up, there was like a bunch of really talented blues musicians that I grew up with. And they were a lot of my influence. And then later on, I had a band called the Salty Dogs, and we played some big concerts, like in the Del Mar Fairgrounds, and that's when I got my taste of pseudo stardom. I mean, we were getting driven around limousines. We had giant parties. A lot of our rock star friends from like the band Rat and others used to come to our parties. And then also,
wow.
I played reggae, and I opened up for some national acts. I opened up for like Third World and the Wailers, and did more concerts. I've kind of been drifting in and out of like just jam bands, mostly playing some Santana surfy stuff, and then I started with this. The Carlos Rock Blues Experience started, and it was more of a jam band, using mostly paid players. But it wasn't until Danielle and I got together, then things started changing, and we actually were going in a more professional way of playing music. And, we got into rehearsing and actually sitting down and breaking the songs down and writing them down. And I think then once I got rid of my demons, I was able to really concentrate and really hone my music and take my guitar playing and just the whole music industry a lot seriously now. But I'm still having a hell of a lot of fun. So,
well, you must have it. Quite a following if you're playing at the House of the Blues. House of Blues.
Well,
that's a you have to have a pretty good following to play there.
Well, I just happened to be lucky, and I ran into a person actually on Facebook who was working with the House of Blues and also Live Nation, who promote a lot of national acts. And so this is our first. Well, actually, we played before, but it was in a smaller room. It was the Voodoo Lounge at the House of Blues. But we're actually going to be on one of the bigger shows. We're really looking forward to that. So we're just hoping the right ears will hear us and take us to that next stage.
That's great. Well, best of luck to you. And again, if people go to stonehorse.net, will they see your calendar where they can hear you play?
Yeah, we have our show schedule on there. There's pictures of the band. You can get our CD. You can download the CD. Yeah, a lot of different things. So.
Okay, great. So I'm going to post that website on my website. So in case people missed it, they can just look right there at stonehorse.net. And they can buy your new CD and find out where you're playing. And great. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
Enjoy
the
sunset.
Word up.
When are you coming to Austin?
I said we'd love to come to Austin. So put the word out. And
oh, yeah.
We'd love to come out there.
All right. Talk to Art, the producer
okay,
of the show. We'll help you with
right.
that.
Thanks.
All right. You have a good evening. Enjoy the beautiful
cool.
weather.
See you back
thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we've come to the end of another show already. 2 hours have flown by. It's 1 hour flies by, 2 hours fly, 2 hours fly by. It's great. So I want to let you all know what's coming up next week. And next week we'll be live again, this time, next Sunday, February 23rd. We will be broadcasting on location on beautiful South Padre Island. So hopefully the weather will be as beautiful there as it is in La Jolla tonight. And joining me for the show will be someone on the phone from a much colder environment from Chicago. I will have licensed health insurance advisor specializing in assisting small business owners, their employees and families in securing low-cost comprehensive health coverage, Carrie Barber, who is also certified by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to help consumers on the state and federal exchange marketplace and provide insurance guidance. And Carrie will be talking about what's happening now and what is coming on the horizon with regard to the new healthcare law. The final deadline for open enrollment is fast approaching. It's March 31st, and Carrie will hopefully help you increase your awareness of the implications with regard to this. And she plans to share some of the good, the bad, and the ugly that she has seen over the past few months and how she has become resourceful and creative to help make sure people are getting what they need. And Laura Gelizunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And also, we will have a representative or two from the Water for Africa project to tell us about that and how we can all get involved in that. And as usual, we will have a very talented musician or artist or a band. And I will be talking about food and mood. Now, if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and about upcoming shows, or if you want to be a sponsor, go to my website, drmarikarpel.com, drmarikarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Tonight's show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Live Oak Legacy. And special thanks to my guest, Wayne Key. Thank you, Wayne. And thank you to Master Sergeant Will Williams and his group of mentors, and to Carlos Rodriguez and to Danielle Spade from Stonehorse. And thank you to Art Mendoza for doing the production engineering this evening. And a big thanks to Jed Hines again for helping us to make this run so smoothly tonight. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.